Let's cast our eyes northwards and eastwards to our neighbours who've been so drastically affected by the cyclone and subsequent flooding in Mozambique, Malawi and Zimbabwe. In a moment or two, I'll be speaking to the Rural Women's Assembly, which is a network of grassroots organisations working on the ground. Before that, though, I believe we've managed to establish contact with Krista Abers, who has flown up to Mozambique last night from the Eyewitness News team and chats to us from there. Krista, glad to have you on Skype, because I gather the phone lines are still virtually non-existent. Good morning.
Good morning, Papa. Absolutely. Barra at the moment is an absolute shutdown. There is no electricity, no network. The only place we can actually have Wi-Fi at the moment is the operations center that's been set up at the airport by various relief organizations from around the world.
Tell us what you experienced when you arrived, Krista. I've heard some journalists, the one or two I have managed to hear, giving reports saying we arrived at an airport that was all but deserted. There was no one here to check our passports, and the situation is absolutely dire. Can you sketch for us what you've witnessed since you arrived?
Absolutely. I mean, flying into Barra itself was quite an experience. The visuals from the sky are absolutely devastating. Houses are destroyed, trees blown over, and flooding can still be seen in many parts. Actually arriving at the airport, it was actually quite busy. I must say that the one conveyor belt that is in the airport itself had more supplied and bottled water than suitcases in this case. I think a lot of people are arriving at the moment, a lot of journalists from across the world, and also relief organizations are all streaming in at the moment.
The big question, though, is once they get to that airport, how do they get the relief into the places that need it? Krista, you've just described a situation where you guys are basically reliant on the airport to be able to do your jobs. How difficult is it going to be to get out into the affected areas and report on what's going on there?
Absolutely. It is very difficult. We've just managed to actually establish a flight with Mercy Air on this side that's going to take us to one of the areas that has been worst affected. There's no actual way to get to them other than air because all the roads has been destroyed, which I think makes it such a disaster because people can't get out.
Well, speaking of getting out, that was going to be my next question. Is there any sign of people trying to leave the country? You're talking about flights coming in with journalists and relief work pouring in. Is anybody trying to leave?
I must say, I'm not really seeing at the airport, as we are stationed here most of the time, I'm not really seeing any flights outgoing at the moment, no. I think on the way here, we did have two people actually coming to collect their family members and to see if they are okay, because they can't actually get in contact with them because all the networks are down. Oh. But at the moment, not really many flights leaving, no.
Must be the most desperate feeling. Krista, have you had a chance yet to engage with families on the ground and those who've been directly affected?
Not at the moment. Yesterday we landed at about lunchtime and we had to sort out all of our admin. A lot of the hotels are closed because of damage. There was actually one hotel that opened last week that closed now because of the damage of the cyclone. So yesterday was admin day for us, and today, as I said, we were going to go into the affected areas and try to see as much as we possibly can.
Krista Abers, thanks for that update and good luck to you and your team as you do head further into the country to go explore the impact of the cyclone there. Krista Abers of the Eyewitness News team on the ground in Beira in Mozambique. Let's stay with the issue of the cyclone aftermath and the flooding that has occurred. We know hundreds of lives at least have been lost, families ripped apart in Mozambique, in Malawi, in Zimbabwe. The death toll could well climb past the 1,000 mark, and the Red Cross already describing the situation in Beira as one of human devastation that is massive and horrifying. It's very difficult, as you've just heard Krista describe, to get information when communication networks are down. Today I want to speak to somebody who has perhaps a better chance of hearing from those on the ground than others do, because Mercia Andrews speaks for the Rural Women's Assembly, which is a network of women's movements and grassroots organizations in the SADC region. And I think they have had some opportunity to collect updates from those on the ground in the affected areas. Mercia, thank you so much for joining us and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
What sort of feedback are you receiving from your members on the ground?
Well, I think some of what the journalists described earlier is what we are hearing, that large sections of communities, everything's been completely destroyed. People have been sitting and waiting on rooftops of schools and so on for days, and there's been very little relief coming their way. I think there's just not enough infrastructure inside many countries. You can see Mozambique is unable to cope with their own with the disaster. Zimbabwe is the same, and Malawi exactly the same. So there's little ability inside the country. There's very little disaster management set up. There isn't enough resources, few helicopters to go out, etc. There was a story from my colleagues this morning that the helicopter that was available in Zimbabwe was used as opposed to relief measures of getting people out. It was used to accommodate the politicians to go and see what's happening.
For heaven's sake, yeah.
So these are the kinds of stories that's coming through. We are trying to support people by collecting blankets and seeds and so on, because when floods come, I mean, you are destroying livelihoods, you're destroying life, you're destroying soil. The entire vegetation in the rural area is completely destroyed, yes.
Mersha, you spoke about very little relief getting through. Is it a case of, as you said, the infrastructure to physically get that relief support to the people who need it, or is it a case that there's just not enough coming in as yet? Our reporter has described seeing signs of relief supplies and relief workers arriving at the airport in Beira. Do you think that that situation is going to start to change in the days to come?
I think the response has been, I believe South Africa has been quite fast. It's been one of the first countries that responded to Mozambique. I also know that India has responded. So some of the kind of BRICS countries have responded, those close by. But I think not enough has happened yet. There's much more relief required. I think more helicopters, more of those kinds of bigger support is required, yes.
Final question for you, Mersha. I know your focus is very much on women and children. Talk to us about the plight of children, because they must be the most vulnerable at a time like this. And I'm hearing reports that there are many of them just being left to fend for themselves, unsure what has happened to their parents, having watched their homes being swept away. Any specific update on their plight?
No, not specifically. We're not sure of the numbers, but it's clear that there's a lot of separation of families, where people don't know, children don't know where the parents are, and parents don't know where the children are. So people have been washed downstream, and the separation is quite disastrous. And they've set up various relief centers and places where people can live, whether it's in schools and halls and so on. I know this is happening in Zimbabwe. I think Mozambique, it's much, much more difficult to find some of those kinds of areas. But I do want to say two things that I think is important, lastly. One is that there isn't enough focus and attention given to the question of disaster management. And I think we need, as countries and as communities, to begin to ask, what is the disaster management program? What are the resources available? I think Southern Africa has been experiencing, it's not the first time, for example, that we've seen this type of devastation in Mozambique, where the floods have come. It's not the first time we've seen this in Malawi, etc. Why is it that we wait for the destruction to happen, and then we start looking at the fact that we don't have infrastructure in place? I was reading an article yesterday that this is probably the worst cyclone and devastation that we've experienced in the Southern Hemisphere. Now, surely we can see that this changing weather, and what is it that we are doing? As what are the governments doing? And certainly us, as the Rural Women's Assembly, we are going to make this as one of the critical issues. There is climate change, there is weather change, and how prepared is the governments of our country to deal with these issues? For us, this is key.
Mercia Andrews, thank you so much. Speaking there for the Rural Women's Assembly, what an absolute nightmare situation. Our thoughts very much with those affected in our neighbouring countries.